going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I did not hear the break call yet. That type of stuff, I go, oh, God. As a man, I used to prank call a lot of people when I was a kid. I never got a chance to prank NFL prospects. How many prank calls did you leave when you were a kid?
Oh, we did a ton. We did a ton all the time. I remember I set it up once when I learned how to do three-way calling. I put two radio stations on the phone with each other. Yeah. At the same time, and I couldn't believe it worked. The guy's like, you called me. He's like, no, you called me. Like two call screeners.
That's great.
We're just going after it, and that I'm sitting great. There giggling in the background.
That's better than anything I did. I just would, like, call my buddy's dads and say that they're, like, their sons spray-painted something on my daughter's car and threatened to kick their ass. Because I had, like, an older voice of my buddies, a couple of them believed it, a couple of them said, Kenny, get off the phone. Knock it off. So I'm going to hear this prank call here. This is from a kid named Jax Albrecht, who is the son of the Falcons defensive coordinator. Why is everything... You remember the Falcons went after us on social media years ago and had to apologize for it? Why does it always involve the Falcons? Why are the Falcons always trolling us some way, somehow? So I've never heard this. This is a prank phone call placed by the son of the defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons.
This is kind of cut together from both sides, okay. From each phone.
Okay, because Shador was on camera when he took the call.
We've seen the Shador side and we've seen the kid side, but yeah, these are together.
This kid got Shador's private NFL phone just for draft day. Amazing. He got his number, and the kid decided to record himself with his buddies making a call to Shador Sanders, faking that he got drafted by somebody. Hit it.
This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
How are you, man?
Good. Been waiting on you.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're going to take you as our next pick right here, man.
Yes, sir. Let's be legendary.
Hey, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man. Sorry about that.
Okay. What does that mean?
I don't like that.
Well, when you see Shador... He later says, well, nobody has this number. It's like, well, a bunch of sons of coordinators have this number, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Around the NFL.
I didn't think it was well done, to be honest with you.
No, but the situation was the perfect prank. To call Shador while he is free-falling, to somehow penetrate that, get his private phone number.
But
then it's here's the other thing.
If it were I would laugh at it.
Here's why it's perfect. Because they got video of it. And because it got released. Like, why is Shador allowing his buddies or his filmmaking crew that follows him 24/7? Why are they allowing this to be put out at your moment of most vulnerability?
Everything's content. Everything's content. And by the way, apparently a bunch of people feel bad for him. They're buying his stuff off his website.
Oh,
so they feel bad for it. So he's making money off this.
I did feel bad for him. But it's why it's a perfect prank. Because... he thought it was real.
I don't know.
He thought it was real.
I understand, but not only did I not think it was funny, I didn't think it was well done. I didn't think it... Owen, can you...
No, it sounded like the kid froze up once the
he didn't know what to do.
The moment came.
Yeah.
It was not delivered in, you know, it was definitely not a crank yankers call where they would have went and reused it later, because had he come out and said, "How's the wait been, Shador?" And Shador's like, "Well, you know, it's been a long wait." And then he goes, "Well, you're going to have to wait a little longer."
Yeah.
It's but like he told him, "We're going to pick out. You." And then he goes, "Oh, wait, we're going to wait on you."
Did he realize then maybe he was making a tremendous mistake he was going to have to apologize for? I mean, he's released a statement, called it unforgivable. And
did he realize who his father was? Did he realize that it was going to come back to bite his family? And I'm sure he was thinking, oh, crap. I'm going to have to deal with dad here.
How do you deal with this if you're the defensive coordinator of the Falcons?
Well,
if it's your son.
The son is where? He's at Ole Miss?
Yeah.
And so the dad's in Atlanta.
Yes.
You can be there in 4.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
I'd have to look that up, but it can't be that long of a drive to be there. You've also got Arthur Blank's private jet. I'm sure you can say, "Hey, Mr. Blank, I need to borrow this for a minute. I'm going over to whoop somebody's ass." Like, I don't care how old you are. This is not a – because now you're putting me out there. Now, if it's my kid and I'm the defensive coordinator of the Falcons, I am absolutely losing my mind on my kid.
So we heard Kevin's reaction to it. Here is Shador Sanders himself answering the question about the prank call.
It didn't really have no impact on me because it was just like, I mean, okay. I don't feed into negativity or I don't feed into that stuff. It just is what it is. Of course, I feel like it was a childish act, but everybody do childish things here and there.
Yeah, I thought he took it well.
Yeah,
I
mean, he did.
I thought he took it well.
That was also a day later.
Yeah.
That was also had been draft. I'd like to. And there was a video of him saying, like, "I don't know how they got the number. I had that phone just for the draft day thing."
Well, once you find out who had actually called, and it's like, all right, he's going to get his. It's very easy to kind of move on. It is very easy to do that. But, okay, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a lot meaner,
just
nastier.
The hard part is that Shador thinks he's being drafted.
Yes.
That's why the prank is amazing. Like, if you were to conspire to pull off a prank, and this was the guy, the most famous guy in this draft. Think about it. Cam Ward got taken number one overall. Nobody's talking about him in Tennessee. Nobody's talking about him. It's the Shador stole his free fall, absolutely stole all the headlines.
Ooh.
It's under the microscope.
Joe tweets at us, "The coordinator's son is a Nepo baby. Don't ask me to define Nepo baby."
Yeah, true,
so
right?
Goes back to a caller earlier this morning.
Mitch also says, Jax Ulbricht provided the phone number but didn't make the call. The call was his friend that actually made the call.
Oh, really? Okay.
Still,
I did not know it was the friend who made the call.
Hey, friend, you're also going to catch some, too.
It's like the new version. They should launch the new version of the Jerky Boys, him and his buddy.
Of course.
Oh, I got what's on my ass. All right, there's another thing that we have to bring up here. So the Browns, during this draft, they took Quinshon Judkins and they took Dylan Sampson, two running backs. One in the second round, one in the fourth round. Are we ready to say goodbye to Nick Chubb? A silence came over the room. Are we ready? I'll ask it again. Ready to say goodbye to Nick Chubb?
It seems like it's over.
There was a point where driving in this morning, we have contemplated playing the Layla song for Deshaun Watson. He's still on the roster. Nick Chubb's not on the roster.
I don't
want to
play the Layla song ever for Nick Chubb.
And unless we're waiting for him to sign somewhere else, it feels like it's as far away as it's
going to ever be. I got to tell you guys, maybe I shouldn't say it because it's going to kind of cast a pall over the room. I heard he is kind of getting close to another team. Happens to be in the NFC North.
Clarify that?
No.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Not any further. That I don't listen, man. All great things gotta come to an end. And
why do you think it had to come to an end in this situation, especially this year?
I hope that I do. I hope he comes back. I really do hope, but it's looking more and more unlikely that both sides are kind of ready to move on. It seems to me. I think that maybe both sides are ready because for Nick, It's like, do you want to go to a team that you think can contend? Because you and I are sitting there going, well, if they're not going to be contenders, I mean, real contenders, we might as well have fun with it. I mean, you and I said that in the opening statement with Shedeur Sanders being drafted. And for Nick, it's like, how many carries do I really have left? I mean, this is reality here. I mean, this could be very well his last season in the NFL. Could it not be? So if it is his last season in the NFL, does he want to go to a contender? And if you look at the NFC North, now I've heard which team it is in particular, but when you look at the NFC North, there are contenders there. And right now, you don't know whether or not that this is a contender. And I'm telling, like, it would bring me to nearly tears if he ended up in the AFC North. If he's in the NFC North, it is what it is. I mean, I love Nick, and he'll always be a Cleveland Brown in my eyes, but he very well could be looking at this going, this could be the end. And if this could very well be the end, then he knows he's beloved here. He knows that people here are going to love him now and love him forever, and that when he signed somewhere else, there would be people who are mad that the Browns didn't do everything they could to sign him. But I think that he's looking at this in the reality of what his twilight is of his career now after the significant injury, and I think the Browns are looking at it going, you know, we've added some pop to this running back room now. We didn't have a lot of pop last year. They still have Jerome Ford there. Not that that is going to make anybody excited. I think Jerome Ford's a little bit better than what we give him credit for, just because his name is not Nick Chubb. But I think that when you bring in Quinshon Judkins, when you bring in Dylan Sampson, you're telling the world that we're probably all ready to move on from each other.
Now, I do have some.
It's a sad thing to say.
I might have some bad news to break to you.
What's that? Is it good news that he's coming back?
Breaking bad news?
Yeah, breaking bad news.
We got breaking bad news?
We need a breaking bad news sponsor. Do you know who our NFC opponents are this year?
The NFC North?
The NFC North.
All right. So be it.
So you might get to see him. If he comes out one last time.
If he comes out and he's playing for the Lions or something like that, then you get to, if he's playing over at the stadium, you get to go, okay, there's Nick, that's great. If he's playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I both know that's a totally different thing.
Well, okay, so the Chubb thing is one, do you think what they did at linebacker is telling it all on JOK?
I'm very worried about that, yeah.
I mean, we did see JOK walk into the facility.
Off-ball linebacker, good in coverage, good in tackling, good in run support, or at least arguably good in run support. Like, those are three. Second round, those are three things that we talked about with JOK.
Like, to commit that pick to linebacker when you had other premium positions of need, mm-hmm. with all the wide receivers that were available. I mean, we loved the Iowa State kids. Like, we wondered if that was going to be an opportunity, and they went linebacker. You just can't help but wonder what that means for JOK.
I think that it's a question. I know that they weren't ready to answer that question yesterday or over the weekend, which I don't think there's no reason. It has to be asked, but I don't think there's any way they would ever be ready to answer that question. It's a question that has to be asked, but I think JOK will make that decision. They will make that decision with him. But if they felt that Carson Schwessinger was the best player on the board and happened to fit that need, which seems to be a need for them, then that's what they're going to go ahead and they're going to do. Because, like, Moma Diabate is more of a middle, and Carson Schwessinger is more of the off-ball guy, over in coverage, things like that, then, yeah, I think that fulfills that need. But I hope we end up signing Nick. I hope he ends up staying here. But the vibe I got over the weekend was everybody's kind of ready for this to not happen and that he's going to go somewhere else. And I had heard one NFC North team in particular. 216-474-0092. Slater and Akron, you're first up on the Fan.
Morning, boys.
Hi, Slater.
It's pretty obvious at this point that Stefanski, the offense, is going to run in the system, and they're picking guys at the system.
I'm sorry, your connection is terrible. We have to figure out a different one. It sounded like Megatron calling in. Frank and Parma, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Frank.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Frank.
You know, I thought long and hard about the Shedeur pick, and I'm convinced it was a self-preservation insurance pick. I think that Haslam realized by the fifth round he had a problem. And the problem was if Shedeur went in the fifth round to some other team and became the next Joe Burrow, the fans would run him right out of town. So he solved the problem and just took him. And that's why the coaching staff and the general manager didn't really look like they were into the pick. But there was no way Haslam was going to let somebody else take Shedeur and become a superstar.
Frank, thank you very much for the call. Tone, what do you think?
It's just hard for me to see how this plays out. I mean, maybe it'll be obvious. Maybe Shador will be so much better.
Well, if you're looking at
than
this,
Dylan Gabriel, because you know heading into the draft, everybody had him way ahead of Dylan Gabriel. So maybe it'll be that obvious. It makes you wonder, what's the point of Dylan Gabriel? Why did they pick him where they picked him? But you're not going to lose a ton of sleep if Sanders is amazing.
If you think Shador Sanders is a goofball, then it's not going to make you feel any better whatsoever. And we've had a couple of people call in today, and they think that he's a goofball, and they think it's a terrible pick and part of the reason why the Browns are the Browns. If you think he's a goofball, it's not going to make you feel any better. I think a legitimate conversation has to happen that he has fallen to the fifth round. At one point in this entire process, and while it was early, and it was right after the season, so it's right after we get done in pads, and early in this process, it was felt that he was going to be the number two or the number three overall choice. And now he's fallen to the fifth round. I think you have a real conversation. Who's going to make more of an impact? Could it be a fifth round linebacker? Could it be a fifth round wide receiver? Could it be a fifth round so-and-so? Or could it be a fifth round quarterback that's fallen so very, very far? Why has he fallen so very, very far? Can he humble himself enough to be fixed? Because he needs, clearly there's something that needs to be fixed. Whether it be his attitude in the meetings, whether it be whether or not that he can actually draw it up on the whiteboard, like something needs to click. And are you willing to take that risk? Well, you take risks with other guys in other spots. I mean, somebody gave me the fifth round choices that the Browns have had since Andrew Berry was here, and it's not a cavalcade of stars. It is not that.
Well, any teams.
You understand what I'm saying, though. And I think that any team would have to ask, is it worth the squeeze because of the distraction? I think a lot of people are calling in right now saying yes and no. Or B, does he have what it takes to actually pan out and be something great for us? Is it worth it? Because as of right now, I still say, and we'll find out more this weekend when they all get together, it's Joe and Kenny, Dylan Gabriel, because you made that pick with a bullet, because a lot of people were surprised, including myself, and then it's Shador Sanders. I mean, you're four on that list.